Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We're back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. You're listening to episode number 511. Thank you for listening. One show note for listeners of this show. We're in bachelor season. Bachelor season has started. If you're interested at all, most of the people that listen don't watch. So you have that going for you. Check out my bachelor podcast that I do with the great Jason Stewart. The Bachelor Lifestyle. Look that up wherever you get podcasts because it's going strong. It's a good season. If you'd like to reach out to us here at this show, you can send us an email. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. And I might have to stop giving that out because I've pointed out recently that some son of a bitch signed me up to the Shen Yun collection at mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. And now I'm getting fucking Shen Yun jewelry recommendations every time I open that email once a week to do this show. And then some other asshole I saw today, just now, as I was preparing the show document, some other asshole signed me up for TaylorNation.com updates, which I believe is something to do with Taylor Swift. And also, I thought you had to acknowledge that it was your email when you signed up for something. Because I didn't acknowledge shit. And now I'm getting Taylor Swift and this Shen Yun every week. And were he still alive, I would say Walk Off HBP is the kind of person that would do this. But he passed a while back from too much ass consumption, I believe. So because Paul overconsumed ass and we lost him, somebody else has taken his mantle and is doing his deviance and signing me up for shit that I don't want to be on. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. That's the email address. Additionally, you can call us 949-464-TBLS. I had a live voicemail sesh with voicemail legend Katie Shady this weekend when I texted her and asked her about a recipe. And then she called and she was obliterated. She won't mind me saying, I don't think, when she called me to give me the details on the recipe. So that was delightful. But you can call here and we'll play it on the show. 949-464-TBLS. One more item. We would appreciate it if you supported the show by giving us $5 a month. In return, you will get all the bonus content that we do. You get my Freudian. You get my solo show occasionally every week, as far as you know, bonus Bri. I do that there. I post it to the Red Circle page. You get all the bonus content we do here every single week where we save our most ribald topics for later and we give them to the people that subscribe. It's $5. Sign up by clicking the link in the show notes. Be a peach of a person. We would appreciate it. I am joined now, as always, by dear friend, co-host of the show, Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, although I have a small bone to pick with one of our listeners.
Oh, is it my penis size bone?
I believe.
Yes.
Although I never really pay attention when I see my mentions or whatever. I think it was Ben 906.
The great Ben 906, 75 hard participant, kicking ass. Well,
so I was just talking about my how I like to be efficient with the toothpaste tube.
Weird. Yeah, that's serial killer shit, but go on. Yeah.
No, I would say it's serial killer for the people who just squeeze in the middle. What are you doing?
That's crazy. No, I squeeze from the end.
That's what I do.
But I'm not depression era out here trying to get the last squeeze out of it.
I find it to be a challenge. But the problem is my family, they all just squeeze willy-nilly. My one son will leave the cap off. So we have four different toothpaste tubes in our house. We don't share. I don't want that. I grew up with two sisters that had shitty toothpaste etiquette. And so I was like, I'm going to live in a house where I do my own thing.
Yeah.
Michelle doesn't do it right. She squeezes in the middle. So I just can't take that. But then Ben, I believe Ben, if it's not you, well, I don't know. I'm not really that sorry. But he's like, well, I picked Ed Daly for that. He probably waters down Robitussin for his kids. I'm like, wait, so you're calling me a cheap piece of shit? Like, what? I'm shortchanging my kids on medication? I am not a cheap person. We all have our toothpaste tubes in my house. I just like mine to not be disgusting.
No, you're the opposite of cheap. You got four toothpastes going in the house. Ed Daly's fucking Mr. Daddy Warbucks, Eddie Warbucks over here. many toothpastes.
Fuck you, Ben. You thinking I'm watering down medication for my kids?
Ben, piece of shit. Bowling correspondent. Ben, next we're going to find out he's going two-handed up there in Ohio.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. Speaking of that. It's my adult son. The way the house is laid out here, we all kind of have our own me and my super hot girlfriend, Cheyenne, we share a bathroom, and we have our own toothpaste. And I believe she's a middle-of-the-tube squeezer, but she uses that Arm & Hammer.
Oh.
Speaking of
serial killers.
Yeah, Army Hammer. Yeah, the great Army Hammer. She uses that baking soda toothpaste. And
yikes.
If you accidentally fucking run into that sometime, it is
disgusting.
Woo! It's like when you accidentally go to grab a beer and somebody's fucking chew spit is in it or a cigarette. It's like, whoa, my God. So we have our own toothpaste. But, you know, growing up, I had a brother, and I grew up with a brother and a sister. We're half brother and sister. And for the whole of my life, these fucking disgusting people would leave disgusting toothpaste blobs in the goddamn sink.
Yes.
And I'd be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Like, just rinse it down. When you're done brushing your teeth, rinse. I don't know how it's falling, how you're using so much toothpaste that a big chunk of
it. But occasionally a chunk might fall, but then you rinse it. You're just fucking animal.
Just look at the fucking sink when you're done. And, you know, people do this with their whiskers too. You know, it's like, hey, just give it a fucking once over and rinse it down. And so I grew up with that. And then for the life of me, they could never fucking figure it out until I was adult and moved away. And now I got this, now I got kids, and my adult son is his bathroom. The one that's closest to his bedroom is like the powder room of the house, but it's got a shower in it. So that's like his. This fucking guy is brushing his teeth and he's leaving this toothpaste. And I'm like, hey, you got to rinse that down. He's like, oh, sorry, didn't notice. How can you not?
But that's my origin story. I had this issue with my two sisters. I'm like, I don't want to share shit. No, I like to just be clean and everything, not leave. And if you leave the cap off, then it like adds like a film to the edge of your toothpaste. Like you can't leave the cap off overnight.
Disgusting.
And so I go with my own shit.
Yeah.
No, don't call me a cheapskate, fuckface.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, Ben. I don't blame you. It'll be especially funny if it wasn't Ben. I'm really hoping it wasn't.
That's the thing. Like I looked, but I don't actually care. I just wanted to set the record straight, but I don't really care.
Oh God.
Shit.
No, I understand. No, I'm with you. No, I wouldn't want people thinking that about me. I would have to straighten people out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get mischaracterized every fucking week on this show by all these motherfuckers out there. So I understand. Do we care about the Super Bowl?
I thought it was a good game.
I know it was tails never fails in overtime, but was the original
heads won?
Heads won both times, both the start of the game.
I didn't pay attention to overtime toss, but I know heads won the opening.
Yeah, kickoff. I mean it's look still it would be embarrassing to call heads, so tails was still the right call, even if I read
a lot of people criticizing Tony Romo. I actually don't mind him.
You know what? I don't either. And he was making a good point about the 49ers that they needed to fucking, because look, the way that game went in the first half, the 49ers should have built a big, healthy lead. And right. Tony Romo was like, you got to keep running the ball. You've gone away from the run. Go back to the run. And then they go back to the run and they start doing well again. And they put themselves in a position to win the game, but it was too late. Like he has, I don't mind him. Like he's a super fan and he gets all excited and you got these fucking.
But what's worse are the guys who aren't excited about anything.
Yeah. You got these nose Tirico. In the air pieces of shit like Jason Stewart. Others that are fucking too good for everything. They want the most fucking boring, dull broadcast you can have. And look, I like Tony Romo, and I like him screaming at the end of the game when Jim Nantz wants to say something.
But oh, yeah, he wanted that. He had that jackpot line all lined up because it's Vegas. Ooh, yeah. You got this.
Oh, that's so dumb. I hate that. But then did you hear – I don't know if Tony Romo's getting fired or what, but then they like told each other that they loved each other at the end of the game. And Tony's like, I love
they're breaking up this team.
Yeah.
They're breaking up this team.
Yeah. That's bad.
But, and there was another time where like, maybe it was the final drive. Maybe it was the winning drive, but it was 3rd and 6. And he's like, I think you need to drop back. You're not going to blitz Patrick Mahomes. They blitzed him and it failed.
Yeah. Oh no. He called that 100%. He called because they were showing blitz and he's like, they're not going to blitz here because that would be stupid. And then they did it. And he's like, you can't do that against Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that was a great call. No, he does more good than harm in my opinion.
It's not perfect, but like he was taking a beating from what I saw today.
Yeah.
And I thought he was fine.
I did notice at the beginning, and I don't know if this was a barb from Nantz, who's got his own hair issues, but he was like, that, you know, they were doing a stand up like before they went to the actual game. And I think they were going to like a pre-produced piece or something. He goes, and Jim Nantz goes, hey, Tony, you know, like he's like, let's go ahead with your piece or something. And I'm like, oh my God, he's talking about his fucking toupee. So fucked up. Never call attention to it. That's what's rule number one of hair systems. Never point out that somebody has them. Very hurtful. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also saw J.J. Watt, people were giving him shit. Somebody said he looks like his hair is made up for the 2002 prom.
Yeah, that was – yeah, he before the game, you know, he had one of those big buckets like my buddy Spence used to have on the counter in his bathroom of Dep or L.A. Looks gel. And you just get a big old handful like whack, get it all spiked up in there. He's letting us know. J.J. Watt's letting us know. Yeah. But yeah, it's a pretty good Super Bowl overall. Picked up. Sure. Started off slow.
I didn't care about the teams. I bet the Chiefs, so like I had that interest, but like, you know, overall for a game between two teams I don't give a shit about, I thought it was a pretty entertaining game.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Okay, let's talk about the real interesting stuff, like people who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. Just tell us who is dead now. Who died? It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Ed, who died?
Kelvin Kiptum, the world record marathon holder from Kenya, 24 years old. He and his coach died in a car crash.
Was it in Kenya?
It was in Kenya.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's how most people die. Now, is he the guy that he set that world record, but it was with those carbon fiber shoes from Nike?
Oh, I don't know. Remember he's only that? 24. I know there's been some Nike hijinks over the years. But.
And he had pacers, which apparently is illegal. So they would have different guys run out there and run really fast. And he would just have to keep up with them. And then they'd fade out and they'd bring in another pacer to keep him at that world record pace. So it kind of wasn't up to him. I don't know if that was him, though. Either way, RIP, very young.
Toby Keith dies, 62 years old, country musician. He had stomach cancer, I believe.
Very sad. Yes, that is.
There's a great story about Chris Christopherson and him having a little run in.
Yeah.
And the punchline was Waylon Jennings said he's doing a country what pantyhose did to finger fucking.
It's classic. Yeah, it is a classic. I mean, there's not really, it's my understanding that Toby Keith later saw the error of his ways and he was kind of young at that time and yeah. made up with those guys. But that's, you know, that's not a legacy you want.
Well, I think he was I think he was probably smarter than he let on. He was really capitalizing on the 9/11 shit.
Really, yeah, freedom fries, all that. Yeah, that became his gold mine, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Wayne Kramer, guitarist, MC5, 75 years old, pancreatic cancer. Oof. No comeback.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And Wayne Kramer was he was a guy, you know, in the MC5 proto punk Detroit band, right? And then he ran into heroin problem, and he was in and out of prison because of it, and then later turned to activism and really spent his life helping people stay out of jail and rehabilitate themselves. So that's a sad one.
Well, good for him. 75 is a good run for somebody who was
for sure, yeah,
you know, all that drug problems. Mojo Nixon, musician, radio host, 66 years old, heart attack.
Died, Ed, at sea on the Outlaw Country Cruise.
Oh.
So chalk that one up to known illness. He had a heart attack on the ship.
Is there a doctor in the house? No.
Yeah. And, you know, they keep I knew a guy that, because the ship just keeps going. They put you in the ship's morgue or whatever, and they just continue the cruise. So Mojo had to be on ice for, you know, whatever day. It was probably only a 3-day cruise, but still, like, you know, I knew a guy that was on like a 16-day fishing trip where they go way out in the Pacific on a boat and they just fish for tuna. Some guy died like on the second day. And they just
With the fish.
Yeah, they just put him down there in the ice.
Sure. What are you going to do? He's going to stink up things.
Yeah. And I believe he was like there with someone, like with his son or something. Like it was like, I'm like, oh, this sounds like the worst trip ever. But everybody's paying like $9,000 to go out and fish for tuna. They turn it around. Crazy. Well, there's no rules.
Yeah. He's waters. He's not going to mind.
No. What's he going to say about it? You know, maybe they refund his trip. You know, he's not getting it.
Well, he did do two of the days, so maybe they only gave him back a few grand.
Exactly. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
And before we talk about what happened in sports, I'm just noticing. So we had two cancer deaths this week.
Yeah.
One, Toby Keith's stomach. Dwayne Kramer, pancreatic. Now, both are not, neither of those are diagnoses that you're hoping for. Right. But I would argue, because you got pancreatic, you go,
that's a zero comeback.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like shit. And you go to the doctor and the doctor goes, oh yeah.
You got less than 3 months.
Yeah. Get your affairs in order. It's over. Whereas stomach, I mean, this Toby Keith, he's had cancer for many, many years. I think at least 5 or 6 years I've been hearing about his cancer. So that stomach, I would argue, if we had to rank cancers, stomach amongst the worst cancers you can be diagnosed.
Yes.
Now, if we're ranking cancers, number one, I think you got to go dick, right? Like that's if you had to pick.
It would be bad. It's just, I've heard of miraculous stories of everything, but pancreatic, it's
over.
The miracle is how long you can last. It's awful. The worst.
You only survive it if they find it by accident. Like if you have something else wrong with you and they go, like your gallbladder or your appendix bursts or something, and they go in there, they go, oh, you got a fucking pancreas, a cancerous pancreas, and they catch it in time. Because once you notice something wrong, you're fucked. It's over.
Yeah.
But I still say dick. Also, like Eddie Van Halen, tongue.
Tongue.
Or Michael Douglas.
Douglas. Throat.
Yeah. 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 Anything where they like have to cut pieces off that you need.
What about where you have to get the trach?
Yeah. See? Throat cancer. Fuck that. Esophageal. That's from, you know.
Yeah, being generous.
Being a good, dutiful lover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the worst ones, for sure. What happened in sports this weekend?
Well, our first story kind of piggybacks on the RIP. This is, this is terrible, but maybe quick. So maybe not the worst way.
Oh, yeah.
Soccer player died after being struck by lightning in Indonesia.
Yeah, I mean,
it's awful, but
you don't know what happened.
All of a sudden you're playing and then that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one thing. It's much more awful from everybody around you that just sees your charred.
Yeah. Corpse.
There.
Yeah, I don't appreciate TMZ showing the before and during picture.
Oh, hold on. I need to see this. Now, I know like here in civilized places, you see in college football a lot. Where they're like,
you got to have that half hour after the last lightning or thunder.
And it's like, if it's seen within like 50 miles or something, they go, okay, we're stopping, I feel like an Indo. Oh man, there's a picture of it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, whoa, a picture. Poor guy.
Oh my God. Also, I mean,
and luckily for the defender, wasn't playing good D, so he had a lot of space around him.
Yeah, he was wide open, and fewer people in the fans than the Saudi league. I mean, there's not many people.
It's pouring and lightning. Yeah. People are like, fuck this. I don't want to die to watch Indonesian soccer.
No, oh no, there's a video of it. Hold on.
I don't know. Oh no.
Oh. I'm gonna call this. Oh man! Oh shit! Look, that was either.
It's like in a movie that he insulted God, and then he just gets the lightning bolt right at him.
Yeah, that was either. Yes, yeah, it was. It looked like
in Caddyshack, where the guy's like, "You bastard," or whatever, when he misses the putt.
Yeah, Reverend, what's his name? Yeah, that looked like either Obama's drone program or, you know, something from Star Wars where they're just like smite.
It's very specific to him.
Just him. Just get that one guy. And then he just dunk. It's over.
Yeah.
Rajendra, who suffered a severe burn. Oh, no, Ed. Was still breathing after the strike and was transported to a low. First, you get struck by lightning. I mean, talk about adding insult to injury. First, you're struck by lightning. Then you survive it only to be rushed to an Indonesian hospital. You know, it's like, could have just, here's a picture of the dude. Oh, bad uniforms. It's just, they kind of have the Kraken colors. There's no way this guy's a pro. Is this like a semi-pro? I know what an athlete looks like.
He's okay? 35 years old.
Yeah. No. This is like a dad's league. They just got uniforms and shit. Okay. RIP that guy. What else is going on, Ed?
Bo Jackson won a $21 million lawsuit against his niece and nephew who tried to extort him.
Do they think he was easy to trick? Like,
isn't Herschel Walker. Bo knows.
Yeah. And everybody loves Bo.
Yeah, I know. He's beloved by everyone. And What a piece of shit his niece and nephew. Jesus.
Yeah.
Your own uncle. I'm sure he was generous to them.
I'm sure. He's from Alabama. You know, he's a sweet guy. Bo Jackson wore a stalking case. Whoa. Hold on. We got to get the details of this. Former professional baseball and football player. That's for fucking sure. Vincent Bo Jackson, a running back who won the Heisman Trophy at Auburn, has won a $21 million verdict in his civil case against his niece and nephew for trying to extort him. The February 2nd decision included a permanent protective order barring Thomas Lee Anderson and his sister, Erica M. Anderson Ross, from further bothering or contacting Jackson and his immediate family members. The Andersons must also stay at least 500 yards, much like Telly and a school, from the Jacksons and remove from social media any content about them. The lawsuit filed in April alleged that Jackson's relatives tried to extort. Okay. Well, what are the details of this? Oh, Jackson, 61, claimed the harassment started in 2022 and included threatening social media posts and messages. Oh, see, because Bo might have some side pieces. That's my guess.
Right.
But that's his business. Allegations that put him in a false light and public disclosure of private information intended to cause him severe emotional distress. He said Thomas Anderson wrote on Facebook that he would release photos, texts, and medical records to show America that he wasn't playing around. Well, what's that mean? So maybe they're not, because maybe it's false, and so they don't want to like say it. The Andersons, with help from an Atlanta attorney, demanded the money exchange for ending their contact. He said they threatened to appear at a restaurant near his home and disrupt a charity event he hosted in April. Like, no one's going for this because everybody loves Bo.
Yeah, these are just shitty niece and nephews who have nothing going on.
Yeah.
And we should find out what's up with Bo's sister because she mothered whoever Anderson was fathered them.
Exactly. Horrible. Fuck these kids. Props to Joe. Although I don't look, something tells me he's not going to be collecting his $21 million judgment from them, but
now his shitty relatives have to stay away from him.
Yeah, fuck them.
100%. Man, if I could do that for like some family gatherings, there's just certain people in my family have to keep 500 yards. Would be amazing.
Amazing. 100%. Yep.
The Chiefs' Chris Jones was seen crying during Reba McEntire's national anthem before the Super Bowl. I assume, like me, he had the under. Yeah. What the fuck was that last bit? She said in the home of the brave, and then she goes, oh, like after that. Like, what are you doing?
She doubled down on it?
She was probably a second under, and then she did this like
took that over.
two-second styling.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I mean, she had a belt buckle. I know she was a rodeo queen, but she had a belt buckle the size of a serving tray on. I don't know. Like, how'd she tote it out there?
And she was going fast, but you know, it was a tight, 90 and a half seconds. It was going to be a tough situation, but she looked like she was in good shape.
Yeah.
And then that styling at the end was bullshit.
Drug it out there. Well, you know, maybe like Nancy Pelosi, she had her husband got down on it, you know, and she had to manipulate the betting markets in order for her husband to get some money out of the deal. I think smart on her part.
Maybe.
Yep.
Former wrestling star Billy Jack Haynes arrested after a police standoff. His wife was found dead in the couple's home. Billy Jack Haynes, was he like a kind of a known guy, right?
Never heard of this guy. I'm going to look him up. Look, a lot of people.
Like, he looks like a known jobber kind of guy?
Yeah. Oh, you mean like Iron Mike Sharp, the Canada's greatest athlete, Mike Sharp.
He's huge in this picture.
Yeah, let's see here. Okay. Hold on.
You know what? Wasn't there a movie, Billy Jack? I think he was going for that look with the hat.
So Billy Jack was a great movie. He was like a vigilante. There were so many vigilantes back in the 70s. Like,
I know somebody who was in the original Billy Jack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like Charles Bronson was a vigilante. Even to the extent, what's his name?
Tom Laughlin.
And his big old dick. But Billy Jack was a dude, and I think was he? He had Native ancestry, right?
Yes.
There was an Indian theme, and he would come. He would come to a town, much like Kung Fu, except an Indian version. He would come to a town, and the town would be like, "We don't like your kind around here, red man." And he'd be like, "Maybe like add some fire water, Tonto." And then he would like go into a diner.
Wreck people.
And he would just kick the living shit out of the whole fucking town. The whole movie was just him kicking everybody's fucking ass. And look, maybe we should do a Billy Jack.
They're, I would find that.
Available. Yeah.
Or Joe Don Baker in Walking Tall.
Yes.
There were a lot of these kind of movies.
Yeah. Retired wrestling star Billy Jack. So he must have gotten his name from, because Billy Jack. Look at,
if you scroll down, he's wearing that hat. I think that's what Billy Jack wore.
Yeah, he did. He did. He absolutely did.
He didn't wear that satin jacket, but
no, of course
he wore the hat.
No. Retired wrestling star Billy Jack Haynes, who grappled with the likes of Ric Flair and Randy Savage during his rest of his Oregon home. Oh, Haynes, 70. Oh, he had an 85-year-old wife. Maybe she died of natural causes. You never know. He's in police custody at a local hospital. He's
naturally tired of her.
Yeah.
Come on, you're 85. You should be out.
Oh, I recognize it. 100%. Yeah, this guy was a known jobber. 100%. He's doing the Jim McMahon where he puts the, you know, a lot of times you'll see this these days in as an attempt to hide the Adam's apple. But back in the day, guys would just throw, they'd have a headband. Yeah, a sweatband, and they just put it like right around the middle of their neck. What's that for? To keep the neck dry?
Well, yeah, it's to hide the waddle as you get older, I guess. But
yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Boy, I'm not mad at Billy Jack's outfit here. He's really going with the green theme, like the emerald green. Yeah. The jacket is beautiful, and it's got his initials right there.
Hat is clearly a nod to the real Billy Jack.
Yeah, definitely homage. And it does kind of throw you off because he's got the choker on. He's wearing a Speedo, obviously, as all wrestlers, most wrestlers do, unless they wear the singlet, of course. And he's wearing a bright, shiny satin, emerald green jacket with no shirt on underneath. So he's basically naked. And then it's got his initials right on the front, BJ.
Which is sweet.
I mean,
double entendre.
Yeah. It's troubling. And he's looking you in the eyes and he's smiling. It's just, it's a troubling. It's a troubling look.
Usually when someone makes eye contact with you wearing a BJ jacket.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a little worried.
Ooh. Did you scroll down to the current condition of Billy Jack Haynes?
I saw the wife standing out at such. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Is that Sid or Marty Croft?
Yeah. Because look, 70 is not that old these days.
No, he looks way terrible for 70.
He looks 90. And especially, you know, when a guy's pretty jacked in his 40s, usually you can maintain that through later in life, even if you're not, you know, still kicking ass in the gym. But Billy Jack clearly he stopped kicking ass at some point, for sure.
I'll tell you where he certainly didn't kick ass: when he sat down in the barber's chair.
Yeah.
Give me the Geraldine Ferraro.
That is the greatest description ever. He looks just like it. Amazing.
On the show First Take, where everybody yells at each other.
Yeah.
Chris Russo called Dan Orlovsky a scrub when debating him. The former NFL quarterback responded, calling Russo classless.
I mean, it's Matt. Look, Mad Dog's on the spectrum, right? Like that's his.
Yeah. Right. There's something off with him, but also it's like, you know, I've done this before. Like when Matt Millen's trying to give draft advice and you're like, buddy, you're not allowed to, you're terrible at your job. Yeah. We need to do this. Yeah. But at the same time, like at least Orlovsky was in the league. Like Chris Russo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can't imagine he was even good in high school at anything.
No, I think he's a big tennis guy, but not like he couldn't have played. Like he just, the way he moves and talks, like there's no way he could do anything athletic. And look, it is kind of, and honestly, like Dan Orlovsky, he was a scrub, but he played in the NFL. So like other
But he was players, a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yes, other players could maybe call him that if they're better than him. But just a regular ass person, Dan Orlovsky's a huge man that played in the NFL and had a reasonably long career as an NFL player, which is like which makes him exceptional. You know, he's an exceptional human being, and that's just all that you can't call him a scrub because he did it. He did the thing. He went and played in the NFL.
And also, great players don't make great analysts.
No, no, remember right? Joe Montana.
Joe Montana, terrible. And you know, Magic Johnson. my buddy always brings up when he was working the like NBA on NBC, yeah. And he goes, takes it to the rim with some strong strength.
Yeah. Yeah, his Twitter posts are a gift.
Next level.
Boomer's still doing it, and Phil Sims is there looking like an old lesbian. He's still around. Now
his head too. He's looking like the Great Gazoo, the size of his head these days. Yeah, and his son too.
Yeah, and he's got that skin that's the same color as his hair, so you don't really know where the head stops and the hair starts. Yeah, now Dan Marino used to be there, but then he rocked and fired and impregnated a
oh, he's still around. I definitely see him.
Oh, he does. Oh, okay.
He's definitely still getting like CBS work. Like he major work.
And he was in that weird, messy like Corona commercial. What was going on? That was a weird commercial. And they hired like two exceptionally small guys to stand adjacent to Messi, so Messi could seem kind of like normal height.
You couldn't, even though you know guys get a little smaller when they're older. You can never put Messi right next to Dan Marino.
No, that would be great. That's why they had to have him on a boat. Good point. Okay, let's do some voicemail.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His thoughts are useless. Shit.
He's bad. Got me kids. Email number one.
Hey, Ballers. Drew in Phoenix.
I'm Drew in Phoenix.
I'm only like 30 minutes into the episode, but
yep.
It seems like you're trying to get us, your community, to accuse each other of being murderers, which seems irresponsible.
I believe I called it out specifically.
I couldn't hear what he said. We're trying to get what?
We're trying to get the audience to out themselves or their neighbors as murderers. Remember, you were saying last week that we definitely encountered a murderer in our life.
Right. Yeah. Give them the phone number again. Murderers should call in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 949-464-TBLS. Absolutely.
Let us know who and why.
Yeah.
Accused one of our dear Red Circle subscribers.
Oh, tell me.
Of being one. But if you listen to the after show, there's a guy named Kablinky. And Kablinky has done at least 27 murders. When his documentary comes out, it's going to be called Kablinky Murders and Squirters.
Oh, my God.
And oh.
Yeah. Brian can't claim that reference. I guess you have to listen to the after show to understand it.
Yeah.
Not also, just wanted to really quick talk about, I just saw Joel Embiid is out and he's bitching and complaining that he can't win any awards if he misses more than 60. First, he doesn't play in 65 games. And first of all, the union agreed on this deal. Yep. So I don't know why players are complaining now. Also, Embiid is just a little bitch who skips every game against Nikola Jokic. If you look at the games he misses when he's healthy, it's always against good teams.
Yeah.
But so
if he didn't miss.
Yes, Ed.
I agree to an extent, but this time he actually tore a partial tear of his ACL or PCL. Like he actually has a real injury now.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, also, it is kind of bitch to, you're supposed to want those individual awards, but you're supposed to pretend like you don't care about them. So right. like,
but now it's all tied into the pay. But he's already won. It's like one of those things that you can't get the super max contract unless you've been on an all NBA team
which is voted on by writers. That's so dumb. That's so dumb that they did that. I didn't realize that, or I did, but I never really thought about it. That's so dumb.
I'd say it's better than players. Players don't. Yeah. Players like they don't
watch the games.
They don't pay attention to, you know, if one guy has a good game against you and you'd only see him two games a year, it's like, you know, how are you really going to gauge that?
Yeah.
If those games, maybe you'd still be able to win awards. Lastly, you know who played at least 65 games in every season of the first 15 years of their career? LeBron James, the guy that you guys call Fox.
Oh, he's soft.
As a young, I got to pick up.
He's a bitch.
All right, sorry for the long message. Love you guys.
I heard somebody saying how LeBron James would have been a dominant NFL player. Like as a tight end, I assume, or defensive lineman.
Oh, he's so big.
He's huge. He's huge. But he also lays down when he gets a cramp. Like it's like I saw Deebo Samuel drive through another guy's fucking hip with his head in the Super Bowl. Like there's levels to this, and basketball players are soft. That's all there is to it. They are soft compared to NFL hockey. I mean, nobody's softer than a soccer player, but you get it.
But it's like, I don't know. The whole performative thing that soccer players do.
Yeah.
Once the dream, once the dream team made the game international, then foreign players started doing those soccer antics. And that's why the NBA has become a lot of performative, like wincing and pain. It didn't used to be that way. It's because of the international influence. And so then LeBron James grows up seeing this behavior, and this is what he thinks you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Here's another one.
Hey, Brian and Ed. Listening to the new episode and the second or third or fourth.
Oh, is this? I believe this is our buddy Jeff in Denver. He didn't introduce himself.
Hey, Jeff.
He could be talking about his snake situation here.
Oh, boy.
The fucking discussion on, hey, look, I'm a runner. This is a shirt that I got from running another race, and I'm going to wear it while I run, which is, again, completely fucking stupid.
I just saw it. I just was out doing my 75 hard walk with my flak jacket and the whole cross-country team came running past me, and they all had different shirts on from different times they went running. You see it every time.
You guys said. But my question is, does that carry over to concerts and bands?
Oh, this is good.
Wearing the shirt of the band of the concert you're about to go to. Because I just went to a concert on Monday, and I'd say probably half the people that I saw are wearing the band's T-shirt at the concert that they're about to go see. I've always been staunchly opposed to that. Yep. Wear another band shirt or don't wear any band shirt at all. What's you guys' thoughts on that? Ed, I guess you have a son that's into guitar now, so I guess you are going to be going to a lot of concerts, so I'd like to see what you guys think.
Ed,
talk to you soon.
Your thoughts?
I have not been a wear the band to the concert guy. Yep. That being said, that doesn't bother me.
No. Yeah. It definitely never bothered me, but it was always kind of like considered, you know, it's like an unwritten rule. Oh, you don't wear the shirt of the band to the concert. Now that I'm older, I totally would wear the shirt of the band to the concert. I think that's fucking awesome. Why wouldn't you wear the shirt of the band to the concert? I don't recall having done it, but I probably would. I don't give a fuck.
I have a Hall & Oates shirt. If I was ever lucky enough to go to a Hall & Oates show, I'd probably rock that shirt.
Yeah, I have a Huey Lewis shirt. I don't think it fits me anymore. I think I've had to surrender it. But if Huey Lewis was playing, I'd throw on my Huey Lewis shirt and go to the fucking concert 100%.
And I don't mind. Like, so you ran a race? Like, what? Are you supposed to just throw out the free T-shirt?
No, you can do it.
I don't mind that. Like, I mean, I have some Spartan shirts and stuff like that, but they're just like in my workout gear. Yeah.
They throw them in the rotation. Nothing wrong with that. Here's another one.
Hey guys, Super Lee here. Just calling in, do my walk. It's out in the rain, got my light black vest on.
Yeah, that's right.
Hear O'Brien bitch about a little bit of rain and sunny California. And I'm here.
Not last week, buddy. We had I can't remember what they called it.
Oh yeah, you said it last week's show. It was something.
Yes, atmospheric river.
Yeah, I think that's what you said.
Water was coming out of the sky every single day. So much water was coming out of the sky, and then I would just sit there because we're doing 75 hard, so we got to do at least 45 minutes outdoors every day. I would sit there and just watch the rain, and as soon as it let up a little bit, throw on my gear and I go out there and do a hike. So yeah, look, it's bullshit. Rain, look, and I'm not opposed to rain. Why can't it just rain at night? We have it rain at night. We get all the rain we need. You hear it at the window, puts you to sleep. It's like your own little white noise machine.
I absolutely love being indoors, hearing the rain.
That's beautiful.
Like I love that sound. Nice. I think it's great. I don't want to be caught out in the rain like I'm out on my bike, but I'm saying when you're just in for the night and you hear the rain, it's a nice, pleasant sound.
That's nice. I follow I don't know what it's called. Cozy. It's like just pictures of cozy indoor places. It's like cabins, and there'll be a fireplace, and it's like all warm inside, and you can see that it's like snowing or raining outside. And I'm always forwarding them to people, and because it just looks so nice and so pleasant that you're in there and you don't, there's no responsibility of the world outside, and you just sit there and read your book and have it be raining outside. Delightful. Who doesn't love that?
Very up at 35 degrees, May 4 degrees, windy, rainy, and I'm thankful for it.
Of course,
I'm thankful because I'm doing 35 hard to make my life easier. I'm doing it to make myself tougher. And every single thing that comes up is making me tougher.
Yeah.
I don't want the easy days. My toughness isn't going to be there. But the hard days are going to make me grind even harder and be tougher. So, Brian, make yourself be better than that, man. You guys all going? You got this in you too, man. We're halfway through this.
That's right.
Get through, man. Be good. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you too, buddy. 75 hard. Now, I'm noticing here that Super Lee's, he's done a Manuel where he thinks he's hung up his phone, but there's still two more minutes of the call happening, which is reminiscent of Manuel and Gardenia, who thinks he's hung up, although he usually speaks for the whole 3 minutes, but sometimes he'll only speak 2:30 and it'll be just 30 seconds. And but there's no more words on the transcription. So I don't think we're going to catch Lee talking and be like, fuck that Brian guy. I'm going to subscribe him to
piece of shit. This is the last time I ever call that piece of shit.
Yeah. He's going to get fucking Shen Yun.
Or
yeah.
What if this is the first listener that we hear committing a murder?
Maybe that's what, maybe he did it on purpose. Like BTK.
Yeah. He's like at a motel right now.
Yeah.
He's about to murder someone.
Yeah. You're going to hear him be like, I told you a quarter inch on the fescue and it's 3/16. That is, you're out of compliance.
Time to die.
Yeah. You're getting the Billy Jack treatment. Okay. Here's another one.
Guys, Super Lee again, just calling to apologize for the hang up fuck up.
Oh.
Yo called me. I thought I hit the end button. Hit the put on hold button. Sorry. I'll do better next time.
Yeah, it happens, buddy.
Love you, Lee.
Great guy.
And I'm glad you didn't turn out to be a murderer because I thought that might happen.
Yeah. And look, Lee's a tough motherfucker. He's big. He's fucking jacked. He's from Minnesota and he played college football. Like this guy did.
He's talking about he needs to get tougher.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude. Yeah. Dude was teammates with Marion the Barbarian.
That's right. Exactly. Who's tougher? LeBron James, who cries when he has a cramp, or Super Lee, who's fucking outside in 30 degrees going for it? Okay, here's another one.
Hey, ballers. Hey, it's Ben 96 just calling in. Bowling correspondent.
No, Ben 96.
For you. Maybe was a story that broke.
Maybe he's going to cop to his assault of you on the website X.com.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to point out Ed's a piece of shit who shortchanges his kid's medication.
Early in February, I've kind of been waiting for a little bit more information to come out about it, but nothing has really popped up. A professional bowler by the name of Brandon Novak, 35. If you Google him, you'll be surprised. He's 35, not that he's named Brandon. However,
this isn't Bam Margera's former best friend, Brandon Novak, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he'd be a professional bowler, but the age is about right.
Actually arrested during the 2024 U.S. Bowling Open Tournament in Indianapolis on February 1st. So he's up there on the lane, throws a shot, walks off the lane, and gets promptly arrested.
I'm going to take a guess. I don't know if Ben's going to tell us the charge, but I'm going to say failure to pay child support. Just a guess.
He's giving off that vibe in this picture.
Big time.
Unfortunately, there's no video showing the arrest. You can just see a bunch of people kind of responding to it. But the best of it, best of this entire situation was that he was bowling well enough that even though he was pulled off the lanes, he still finished 36th and won $1,500 in prize money.
Nice.
So I guess there's a worse way to spend your Saturday. Good baller.
Good for you, Brandon Novak. And are the bowling championships always in Indianapolis? Because
St. Louis is where the Hall of Fame is.
Right. Where did Big Earn McCracken get Munsoned out in at the bowling championships? I think that was in Indianapolis. Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys for that. Appreciate all your voicemails. Couple emails here. Hi, Ed, and quote Brian. Ed, a dear friend has informed us that he is constantly being asked by dog owners to pet their dogs. Is this a problem on the East Coast as well? I saw something on Twitter about an NHL All-Star game or something. Not really sure. G-Fish. He wants to be our hockey correspondent. You're hired. And we have a buddy. That's a little inside joke there. We have a buddy that claims that every time he's out, he's accosted by people with their dogs demanding that he pet their dogs. And I find that hard to believe. As I often am out, I take many walks. I take a walk every single day. Every day I take a walk. And I encounter many dogs on my walks. And I have yet that anyone requests that I pet their dog. It has never happened to me, not even a single time. I see dogs, they walk past me.
Same. I've never had someone say, oh, pet my dog.
Never.
That being said, the amount of people that think you don't give a shit that Bosco is like up in my business and like getting their hair on. Like, I'm allergic to dogs. So I can appreciate your dog, but like, I don't want to feel their snout on my hand or anything. Like, people like in the elevator in my building, they'll be like, oh yeah, he's just friendly. Like, pull him the fuck away. And if I lean in to pet your dog, then I'll pet the dog. Otherwise, I don't want to touch your fucking dog.
Now, if you're in an elevator situation, I feel like if you have a dog in an elevator, you should do the appropriate thing and be like, I'll take the next one.
Yeah. You tighten that leash and Bosco is touching you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Keep Bosco under control. Thank you for that, G-Fish. You're hired as the official boxer.
Yeah. I don't watch All-Star games, but I did see some highlights of like the skill stuff. I like stuff like that, the hockey skills. Yeah. But there was one guy who didn't try. There was a big thing that NHL skills, somebody didn't try.
Yeah.
Didn't try. And like he got what was it? Kucherov.
Oh. Russian.
He didn't try. And so like everybody else had like, you know, similar scores, and he just, his lack of enthusiasm just, he just He didn't want to be there. And so he like didn't do anything that was asked of him. And it was like so weird.
Oh, what a bitch. Because he probably would have rather gone to Cabo for the weekend, like which is what a lot of guys do. I did see Connor McDavid, who's the fastest skater in the NHL for like the fifth season in a row.
Yeah, he's crazy fast.
And I'm reminded back in the day, they used to have the hardest shot competition, which would always be won by the great Al Iafrati, who
in NHL 94 would break the glass.
He would break the glass, and he had that beautiful, he was completely bald on the top, except for just like a little bit of fuzz on the top. And then he had a beautiful long skullet hanging down out of his hockey helmet, which is beautiful. Okay, here's another one. If you find gentlemen were booking the halftime show for next year's Super Bowl, who would you have perform? That's from LSU, Ed. Usher could not have been more boring. I'll be honest. I went in the kitchen and cooked. And look, I love Alicia Keys, and it was nice to see your prediction of Little John come true. Little John was there. He answered the call.
And so,
Luda, Chris.
I really tried to keep an open mind. I found it boring. I really did only know one or two songs, and like I was just bored the whole time.
It's too produced. It's just not. It's just so choreographed. It's so overly produced.
And I don't. The problem is when people think of the halftime shows, they're growing up like famous bands, famous artists. Like there's not bands that like you would want to see. So like to me, the most entertaining in recent years was when they got a bunch of hot chicks together, and it was like Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. Like if they're going to do that, something like that, sure. Or you get a whole bunch of rappers like they did a couple years ago.
What if they should hire the Wu-Tang Clan to perform, and then we all take, that could be a prop.
Yeah,
six ninths of the Wu-Tang Clan will show up, you know, and it's like you gotta pick who's, you know, is it gonna be Ghostface, is it gonna be Raekwon, you know, U-God, somebody's not gonna be there.
Well, remember my story about seeing him right before Christmas? There were so many hype men on stage, and you couldn't quite tell who was, like, you knew who Method Man was, and you know Ghostface, like, you knew Raekwon, but, like, you know, don't tell me you can pick Master Killa out of a lineup of 35 guys on stage, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? And they all did, like, medleys. Method Man probably gave a little bit of a shit about it, and the rest of them are like, yeah, I'm going Christmas shopping. Like it, like the concert was over. All they played a medley of all their songs. They were done in like 40 minutes. It was crazy.
Shit. I love that shit. That's awesome. Here's another one. Love this one, fellas. Y'all had me laughing so hard. Is the video of Jackson Mahomes being denied access to Brittany Mahomes' VIP table the greatest thing on the internet since the brawl on the docks?
I didn't see him getting denied. I love the brawl on the docks, though. That's the great.
If he's too insufferable even for Brittany Mahomes, he's officially the worst person on the planet. I mean, behind like actual awful people, but you know what I mean. Yes. Couple of clarifications. Brian, I travel in West Texas and rural Colorado. There are no parking-related concerns for my shit stops. But a good point. It doesn't really work in large metro areas, so a valid point. Please add my point of correction to the official record. It's duly noted. Ed, I have plenty of friends that work for companies that have been bought by private equity. It goes one of two ways. They either leave the company alone and let it run, or they ruin it. No middle ground. I hope they don't ruin your Orioles. I know the Orioles have been terrible for 20 years, but they have done one of them. Oh, but they have one. I'm adding words. There's not, I'm saying words that are not there. I know how to read, but they have one of the most exciting young rosters in baseball. Plus, they just traded for arguably one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball. The Orioles remind me of my Astros right before the Astros started their current run of being very good and cheating to win World Series. Just enjoy the ride, my man. My grandfather was an Astros fan since they were the Houston Buffs. Then Colt 45s. Oh, those Colt 45s.
Very man. Sweet.
God damn. He lived his whole life and never saw his team be good. If my Astros can't win, I would love to see the O's do
doesn't,
it.
Doesn't yeah. Houston Buff sound like a gay bar?
When it does. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Let's. Hey, what are you doing tonight? Let's go to Houston Buffs. It's kind of like Rain City Jacks.
Yeah, it does.
The Houston version of Rain City Jacks, because I'm learning, much like Fort Collins Jacks, others.
Yeah, there's jacking there's all over the place.
Yeah, there's so much jacking happening. Keep up the good work. For show recommendations, I just started Griselda on Netflix. It's very good. Just don't Google what the real Griselda look like.
I've seen Cocaine Cowboys. I know the real Griselda.
Needless to say, from a casting decision on pure looks, she is more Danny Trejo than Sofia Vergara. I'll save you the Google search. That's from our friend Matthew Richards. Yes. You know, Griselda Blanco murked a guy or had a guy murked like three blocks from my house when I was a kid. And I didn't I remember the murder happening. It was this dude that, he owned a chain of local Mexican restaurants, and he was coming home from work after closing one night in his Porsche, and he came along a dude that had like supposedly crashed on his motorcycle in the middle of the road, blocking the road, and he stopped, and some dude came up with an Uzi, just blasted him right there in the middle of the street. What happened to Uzis, by the way? I miss Uzis. And then they took off, and I remember it was a grisly thing, but everybody was saying, you know, it's probably cocaine related. Was it? And then they allude to that murder in either the Cocaine Cowboys or the Cocaine Cowboys 2. And I was like, oh, I remember that. I remember that happening. I didn't realize it was Griselda. So,
yeah, greatness. When I lived in Miami for a couple of years as a kid, that was during the Miami Vice Griselda heyday. And there was, and it referenced it in Cocaine Cowboys, there was like a shootout or an assassination at the Dadeland Mall. And I lived like just maybe a quarter mile from the Dadeland Mall. And I remember when that happened.
Oh, yeah. That was gnarly. They were just having full-on machine gun battles like every other.
Didn't they like gun down someone in the Miami airport one time?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
They're like, oh, this is the perfect place to do it. No one will expect us. And nailed a guy right in the terminal.
Jesus.
Great movie. And that's another good one. Cocaine Cowboys. Great documentary. Great. If you guys haven't seen it. Hi, ballers. I'm not doing 75 hard. Fat, 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 fat. Does he mean unbelievable? Oh, now I lost my place. But I am not currently drinking, and I love beer. Have you tried any of the hop waters out there?
Is that alcohol free?
I must be. Lagunitas makes one. I'm sure you can get in California. They taste enough like beer that eventually you can trick yourself into believing you are having a super light IPA. I've brought them to parties and just drink those instead of real beer, and it doesn't make that much of a difference other than I can drive home. Give one a try. Also, what should I do with the perfectly good running shirt they give me for signing up for a race? I don't care that it says I completed the San Antonio Rock and Roll Half Marathon in 2014 on it. I'm not bragging, but it's a good running shirt. I'll await your response before I blank the perfectly good running shirt to give the perfectly good running shirt to Goodwill or trash it. No, you can wear it, whatever.
So this has come up a couple times. I wear these shirts, but especially in the winter because I'm not riding outside. I'm riding on the Peloton. I go through, in 2 hours, I go through four shirts.
Oh, really? You sweat them up?
It's like I'm in a swimming pool. I mean, I'm doing...
What, you go shirtless? You're just in your...
Nah, because I like I like using the shirt to, like, to wipe my face and shit and sleeves. But like, yeah, I'm doing like, what, 42 miles on a Peloton? Like, I'm just drenched. So I just keep, I have a stash of shirts right next to me and I just keep putting on new shirts.
Oh, that's nice. Lots of laundry. Okay, thank you for that, Adam in Houston. You feel free to wear the shirt. I'm just talking shit, of course. Let's talk some not sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
And what is going on in the world of not sports?
Very disturbing. Southeast Asia. Indonesian singer Yuni Shara explains why she watches porn with her teenage sons. It's so she can educate them.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Do you think that when God smote that Indonesian soccer player with that bolt of lightning,
mm-hmm.
he may have intended it for Yuni Shara?
You look at the picture of her boys. The kid on the right is already broken. You can tell his spirit has left his body.
Yeah. The kid on the left looks like he's kind of into watching porn with mom.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Kid on the right, you see a soulless look into the camera. Yeah. Like, my mom watches porn with us.
Also, the kid on the right looks like this looks like a superimposed job because his head is as big as the other two's head combined.
Yeah. He looks like they're different fathers for sure.
Yeah.
And also, all right, so the next picture down.
Yep.
Gotta say, mom's fit.
Wow, yeah. Although.
Beefy boy still looks broken. Yeah. He looks like he's crying his way down the stairs.
Look, the other kid looks like he's having way too much fun.
Yes, he does.
He's enjoying the porn viewing. A popular Indonesian singer has been questioned on her parenting techniques after she revealed that she watches porns with her two young teenage sons. Oh, come on. Wahyu Setianing Budi, known as Yuni Shara, revealed in a YouTube interview that she sits down to watch porn with teenagers on a regular basis. The controversial revelation has been met with a mixed reception.
Mixed
by who? Yeah, with some social media users branding
Yuni giving herself positive reviews, everyone else saying no.
She's making new accounts. She keeps signing up with different email addresses. The controversial revelation has been met with mixed reception. With some social media users branding the mother as quote creepy. Why the rush to judgment? I mean, let her live. While some psychological experts have praised her forward-thinking parenting, who are these?
No, there's got to be boundaries.
There is a documentary about he's Italian. The Italian porno actor Rocco Siffredi.
Okay.
Who, and I would not recommend that anybody watches
Rocco
anything starring Rocco, because he has, and it's revealed in this documentary that he had an interesting relationship with his mother.
Oh.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know. It's maybe, but my point is that it's like he's a married man and he retired from porno. And he's married. He's a beautiful wife. I think they live in like Belgium or something. And his wife is, I think she's an ex-porno lady or whatever. And they, you know, it's like the porno life was very lucrative for him. So I think they're pretty comfortable. But the problem is that once they got, once he retired.
He needed it.
He needed it to the extent that he was getting five or six prostitutes every day.
Yeah, that seems right.
So finally she was like, maybe you just go back. It's too much. Like, just go back to doing porno acting again. But I'm reminded of it because they ask his sons in the documentary, because Rocco's got a couple sons, and they're like, you know, they're like, working on like model airplanes or something out in the greenhouse or wherever they live. And they're like, hey, do you know like what your dad does
for a living?
Yeah. And the just dejected look of like, we knew yeah. you were going to ask that at some point. And they're like, yeah, yeah.
He's got a jackhammer. Yeah. We get it.
We know. And it's, he's.
Dad he's, puts in work.
Yeah. I mean, what Rocco does in the pornos is unnecessary, because he's already assaulting them with the weapon that he was blessed with. It's he doesn't need to do it to them in the manner
fervor.
Yes, that he does. So no recommendation to any of the films of Rocco Siffredi, and also Uni Shara. You know, maybe I think her parenting we would call unconventional.
Yeah. Just take a look at her boys and you can see how the parenting's working on one of those boys. He's broken. Yeah. He's broken. Yeah. It's broken. Come on. You go to school with that son?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, because, yeah, maybe it's bad enough that you're watching pornos with your mom, but now everybody at school knows you're watching pornos with your mom. And that's, you know, I can't.
There was in middle school, there was one time, it was a bullying situation. It was like a whole bunch of kids, and they kind of made one kid admit his mom was attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. And he heard about it for the rest of his days. That is. Remember the time you talked about wanting to fuck your mom?
Yeah. I mean, that's worse than your buddy's mom wanting to fuck Willem Dafoe.
Oh, yeah. Poor Jake. Ozzy Osbourne, the Blizzard of Oz, said he denied Kanye West's request to sample War Pigs on his new album. He's an anti-Semite. Well, good old Ozzy.
Yeah, Ozzy's the best, man. He's still sort of coherent, which is great for him. And, you know, he's got his publishing.
Yeah. There's a guy I didn't expect to still be with us.
Yeah, and I've said it before, he's one of those guys that probably could have benefited from ODing around like 1983 or so, because the legacy was intact at that point. Like, he was he'd done it all, and now he's just like kind of this
bumbling
old man, you know, shuffling around taking OxyContins. So, but
what I would say,
yeah,
for a rap hook, sampling War Pig sounds pretty badass.
Yeah. Have you seen the T-Pain version of War Pigs?
I don't know if I have.
Oh, it's fucking amazing, Ed. It's like T-Pain. Hold on. Let's call it up here, because it's kind of worth it. And look, we're not a big enough song. We're not a big enough show that anybody's going to catch us for like copyright.
And this is probably in the bonus content.
Yeah, this is going to be. Yeah, it's the bonus content anyway. I'll make sure.
What a song War Pigs is.
Such a good song. T-Pain does it proper.
Like master, the old minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death construction. In the field, the bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed mind. Oh, hey,
hey, hey. Yeah. Ozzy signed off on that one, by the way.
He's T-Pain. Yeah, he did it. He did it like a, you know, just a
traditional cover.
Traditional cover. Yeah. I'm just thinking that if you use the right sample from that, it could be pretty badass.
Amazing, absolutely.
A man named Mark Cowart. Yes. Slipped out of his handcuffs thanks to the lube he was using to pleasure himself in the Vanderbilt University Divinity Library.
Wow.
Hey, when life gives you lemons, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
He's like, oh, if only I could slip out of these cuffs. Except I've got lube on me.
Look, Mark Cowart was playing chess while the Vanderbilt University cops.
Yeah, you know those union cops. Those are like Richard Jewell kind of guys.
Yeah, they couldn't pass the psych test to become real cops, so they become campus police.
Yeah, they're busting people for smoking weed in their room and shit.
Right, right. And jerking off in the Vanderbilt University Divinity Library.
I want to know what was going on in that Divinity Library.
Truth. Yeah, what's going on there? Is Vandy like a religious school? This is news to me.
I don't think so, but there could still be some element of religious something.
It is the South. So
right.
Yeah.
He was going for it.
Yeah. He's brought his own lube. Well, I mean, so Ed, this is something to think about. You could never escape handcuffs when you're caught masturbating because you're a dry jacker.
Dry jacker.
A dry jacker? It's yet another reason not to go dry. One, look, if you go dry, let's be honest, you hate your dick, okay? You want your dick to feel pain, much like Rocco Siffredi wants to.
But it's one of those things that it started at an early, early age.
I was like,
this feels good enough.
Yeah.
So I never needed to add. I'm not a prop comic. I just use what I've got.
Yeah. I started out as a dry man. I will be honest. It's in my early forays into masturbation, I went dry. But early on, I realized, you know, if I'm gonna make a career out of this, I can't go dry the rest
maybe
of my
that's,
life. I need to
maybe
lubricate.
That's why I'm nearly retired from the game these days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rare occasion for me, but If I get into it, if I get a little bored, a little tired, I'll lube up, much like the legend of the Vanderbilt University Divinity Library.
Mark Cowart,
the great Mark Cowart.
Yep. Finally, Southwest Airlines was ridiculed after proudly showing off their cramped new seating. Someone responded, "Is there an option to stand?"
Well, that's coming.
It is coming. They'll make you be strap hangers. Yeah. You'll get to be like the old Subway.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think they didn't they make the seats thinner?
Yes.
Is that the deal? Yeah. Furious flyers are telling Southwest Airlines to take a seat. The budget carrier, and I'm not afraid to admit this. I fly Southwest all the time because it flies out of my local airport, and there's like the most flights. Yeah, and it's cheap. The budget carrier is on blast after the bungled unveiling of their next generation interiors, with even loyalists complaining bitterly about the cramped cabins overfilled with seats that look thin and rock hard.
Yeah, I think you're getting less cushions, everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's kind of like a bus seat, like hard plastic. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, there's a thing for your head. It's probably not that. This is not. Like, air travel fucking sucks as it is. Like, this isn't that much worse. It's just a shitty seat on a shitty flight. Honestly, if there's less seat, I feel like there's more room for your body. But I don't know. Yeah.
You know, because you know that they've...
Yeah.
They're definitely not giving you more room for your body.
No, that's true. That's true.
Absolutely. They've shrunk everything.
Yeah. And people's... Especially on Southwest, people got some pretty big bodies on those flights.
Okay. Look, I would say a lot of those flights probably are like 2-hour flights, like not big. Yeah. I wouldn't want to take a transatlantic flight on something like that.
No, absolutely not. Okay, let's wrap it up there. For Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode number 511 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
TBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.